Peace, y'all. Thursday, January 7th. What's today? What the fuck is today's date? January 17th, 2019. My name is Knight. Welcome to the Nightcap. Currently, we are still on a fucking government shutdown, which means the airports are getting angrier. The FDA is losing staff. And Trump still wants money to build a fucking wall that people can just build a ladder and climb over. But he did invite, I don't remember off top what school it was, a school to the White House and bought them a shitload of bad food, fast food. He had burgers, he had pizza, he had many fries. I mean, listen, now looking at it, I'm like, yo, that's whack. Like, he paid for it out of pocket, but he couldn't pay for something better. Doesn't he own restaurants? But I mean, if I was in high school or college, I might have liked that. A couple fish fillets in the Oval Office. Huh? A couple onion rings. Dripping slice of pizza, dripping grease on the carpet at the White House. Don't mind. Just don't touch the Declaration of Independence with greasy fingers. What else? Oh, Soulja Boy. Apparently, Soulja Boy invented Drake and Rich the Kid and was in a group with Rich Homie Quan and Slim. And I was about to say Slim Thug. Is it Slim Thug? No, Slim Thug is the boss. It's the Hulk, the boss Hulk. I'm talking about Young Thug. There's so many Youngs. There's so many Youngs and Lils. That had become an epidemic. We need to address that. Let's address the unoriginality in rappers' names. There's tons of Lils. There's tons of Lils. I think after 98, if your name wasn't Lil already, or better yet, if you wasn't like at least 10 by 98, then you shouldn't have, like, you shouldn't be able to call yourself Lil. Like, Lil Pump should just be Pump. Right? Lil B should just be B. Because it's just unoriginal. And that's, you know, I think that that's a big reason why other folks from other, or people that just are just, you know, haters and don't respect hip hop culture, that's a weapon. They're like, yo, why are there 40 Lils on the Billboard Top 100 and they're all different people? It just doesn't make sense. There's Lils and there's Youngs. Young. The first Young I think I remember, I may be wrong. No. Yeah, nah. I'm not even gonna say it. I don't remember. But who y'all got in a fist fight? The Migos or Bone Thugs and Harmony? I say Bone Thugs because there's five of them. There's only three Migos. And these motherfuckers are older. And they've probably been through way more shit in, you know, in comparison to lifetimes, you think about that. I think if we seen if we seen Crazy Bone fight Quavo. Nah, but Quavo kinda athletic. He be balling and shit. Alright, let's take Quavo out of the equation. No, because Busy Bone seemed like he could fuck Quavo up. And Busy Bone kind of tall. I think he's like 6'1". Quavo's probably like 5'9". But he's very athletic. He may be hard for Busy Bone to take down. Especially if Busy Bone goes into one of his Super Saiyan speaking in tongue modes. He may slip up while praising the gods, and Quavo could throw a football at his nuts. It's a wrap. But then Offset would have to fight Lazy Bone, Flesh and Bone, and Crazy Bone at the same time. No competition. There's no way. There's no way. Both of us gonna show up with the swords they had on the cover of the Art of War. And that's it. Back down. It's over. But we still have two contenders. And that's Wishbone, who's easily the heavyweight champ of Bone Thugs. He's got like 100 pounds on each member. Against Takeoff. That's his name, right? That's the one with the Kermit the Frog eyes. Takeoff. He's the one with the deep. With the deep. Shout out to Nate Dogg. That dude. He's dope. I like him. I think he's my favorite member of the Migos. But he don't look too swift. It looked like you could pull like an easy trick on him. You know what I mean? Like y'all get in the ring, the bell rings, and you're like, what the fuck is that over there? He turns his head, you swing, it's over. It's over. Just because he got bedroom eyes. And his eyes move really, really slow. His eyes move slow. Which probably means his neck moves slow. Because when he gonna turn back, like the fist's gonna be ready to be 3/4 of the way there. Alright, so I think we've determined in a physical fight, Migos versus Bone Thugs, Bone Thugs won. But in a rap battle, I may be kind of biased because Bone Thugs is my favorite group of all time. But speaking from a non-biased standpoint, to this day, we still bump a whole bunch of Bone Thug records. And they're all from their early career, but they're still getting bumped. Crossroads still gets bumped at funerals. First of the Month is still a Hustler's Anthem and still gets bumped on the first of the month. I remember when I was a mailman, I worked for the post office. On the first of the month, the fucking people in the post office were playing First of the Month. Because we knew that checks were dropping that day and there was going to be a lot of mail. And the freaks would come out and it wouldn't just be at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, first of the month, there was crazy work to do. And then you got Thuggish, Ruggish, Bone. Then you got For the Love of Money. And these are, like, I haven't listened straight to a Bone Thug album in months. Maybe years. It's been a while. The only Bone Thug album that, like, I bump on, from start to end, if I had the time or if like I was drawn and I just needed to hear something, is the Art of War. I love that album. I don't know why. That album is fire. And I know everybody say East 99, which is also fire, but the Art of War seems so much more mature to me. It's kind of like the difference between Illmatic and I Am. Like everybody say Illmatic, perfect album, Nas's best album. I agree, it was a great album, but it wasn't my favorite. My favorite was I Am. And it was a combination of what Nas was doing and the features. DMX was on that album. Scarface was on that album. Aaliyah was on that album. But regardless, back to the point, you can still spin Bone Thugs records. When did East 99 come out? 92? So over 20 years later, we're still bumping Bone Thug records. Like a vast majority of hip hop fans and not hip hop fans. I knew people in the hood when Video Music Box was around. Shout out to Tuffy too. When Video Music Box was around, I knew people that would turn it on just to call to see the Crossroads. And they didn't listen to rap, but they loved that song because it was very melodic. Kind of R&B-ish a little bit. It was like Gangsta Boys to Men almost. Maybe not. But anyway, I can't say the same for the Migos. Yet. I don't want to put a brick wall. I don't want to put a Trump wall on their legacy. Because I'm sure I wouldn't get funded for that anyway. But I don't think. Oh, nah. I can't even say I don't think. I don't know if we're still going to be bumping Versace in 2039 or 2040. Let's say just to round the number off. I don't know if 20 years from now I'm gonna wanna hear that. I don't know if I'm not gonna wanna hear it. Like I might wanna hear Versace. I don't know. You know, They say the male human brain reassesses itself every 10 years. So I might be two different people until then. I don't know. But I'd like to hear what you guys think. Bone Thugs versus the Migos. I'm tired of hip-hop beefing. Like, if it's not entertaining, it's annoying, kind of. And I love Bone Thugs, but that whole back and forth that Lazy did, like, why are you... You shouldn't even have to say anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you giving trolls a reason. And it's for what? It's pointless. You're never going to win against the internet. Because the internet is a small group of haters that gang up on motherfuckers. Because we're in cancel delete culture. It makes no sense. It's funny because there's websites that I go to every night while I'm working. Let's say I put my kids to bed and I check out like a specific group of websites. And I don't want to make it sound like they're, you know, intellectual educational websites. They're crap websites. They're just bullshit. It's just, this is gossip. I guess that's, you know, the voyeur in me. I go to Media Takeout, even though 90% of the shit I read on there is bullshit. But it's funny. It's funny and fun to me, and I like to laugh. So I might check that out. And it's all celebrity gossip. And half the celebrity gossip is shit that I, you know, people I don't know about. But I'll get familiar with them on Media Takeout. And then I'll form ill opinions of them. And then I'll be judgmental. And it's fun. The second website that I go to is usually WorldStar. Because it's become addictive. I skip over 90% of their videos. But occasionally, you do see a link to a dope interview or a cool new song from you know, Scarface or Zero, or, you know what I mean? Like, shit that won't get pushed up in the mainstream gets pushed up in WorldStar mainstream. There's a lot of corny shit and a lot of stupid shit and a lot of, you know, stunts and, you know, people doing, you know, backflips off of scooters from the third floor and, you know, breaking their face and landing in a puddle of bum piss. I mean, there's a lot of that. So, you know, sometimes I watch it. It's funny. Sometimes it's funny. But then I go to Vlad TV. And Vlad TV, to me, at this point, is the most valid, non-biased way to consume hip-hop news. In addition to sprinkles of other news. But listen, I'm hip-hop. I come from hip-hop culture. Don't get culture confused with race. I think that that's a whole nother conversation. Maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. And maybe I'll talk about that now. People are so caught up in race. And I think it's become confusing when race gets jumbled up with culture. It just doesn't make sense. What the fuck are you honking at? It just doesn't make sense. But I think that's because most of society is so mundane that they don't understand the difference between race and culture. Let me explain something. I identify as a Hispanic American. That's what I choose to identify as, right? I guess in my own head. I was born in America. I was raised in America. Thus, I am American. I don't speak Spanish. I don't use my real name. Even in regular life, I don't use my real name. I use my nickname, Knight. I've been Knight forever. Like, that's what I don't use my real name, which is a very Hispanic name. And I've gotten tons and tons of hate and disrespect from older Hispanics when they learn my name, first and or last, and discover that I don't speak Spanish. Oh, it's a shame. You should learn. I don't even know if that's a good Spanish accent. But my response is, all right. I never had the desire to learn Spanish. Now I kind of do want to know things because my wife is, she's Trini. She's Trini in Italian, and she speaks Spanish. And, you know, my kids know some words that I don't know. So, yeah, I think in my old age, I'm going to not be so stubborn and learn some Spanish. But anyway, I'm American. I'm born and raised, I'm American. My family race is Puerto Rican. It has absolutely nothing to do with my culture. My culture is hip-hop. I was born in Our Lady of Mercy Hospital in the Bronx. I was raised on Briggs Ave and Kingsbridge in the Bronx. I'm hip-hop. That's my culture. Now, when people speak about other races and all the other cultures, it gets grouped in into this nasty mess. For instance, you talk about Jews. People have strong opinions about the Jewish community. And if you're from New York, you know what I'm talking about. There's always that older person, or even some of the younger people that have been brainwashed by the older, that have these negative outlooks and these takes on the Jewish community. The thing about it is, what is the Jewish community? When you refer to the Jewish community, are you talking about Hasidic Jews? Are you talking about non-Orthodox Jews? Are you talking about African Jews? Because, are you talking about Jews from Israel? Because there's tons of different groups. When you go into these different religions and cultures, there's different groups. Jewish is not a race. And if I'm wrong, listen, I'm not Jewish. So if you are Jewish and you think I'm wrong, email me, torchupnyc@gmail.com. But Jewish is a religion. Thus can be categorized as a culture. I know Jews that have never seen Israel or never been. And it goes, it's the same for other religions and races. And Muslim is not a race, it's a religion. And thus sometimes gets applied as a culture. I know white Muslims. I know Muslims from the Middle East. I know African Muslims. I think it's very dangerous and scary when people get clumped up as a people. You get identified as that race. Because yes, I'm Puerto Rican. By default, I didn't ask to be Puerto Rican. My great-grandparents are from Puerto Rico. I was baptized Catholic. I had converted to Islam for a while. I joined the Freemason fraternity years and years ago. And now I practice nothing. I believe in God. I pray. But I believe in God the way I want to believe in God. I believe in the grand architect the way I decide to. Allah, the man up there, the woman up there, the energy up there. I deal with that the way that I've discovered is best for me. I don't influence anybody. I try not to use my experience and my take on race or on religion, or my take on culture to influence anybody. If they ask, then yeah, of course, I'll tell them what I feel and what I believe. But I'll also end that with, I may be completely wrong. I may be wrong. I may not know what the hell I'm talking about, and may have discovered this opinion within myself because of my own experiences. So to each his own. For instance, a dude I consider, you know, like a brother, the number man, shout out to Tough City. Me and him have very similar opinions about a lot of things, but we have different practices when it comes to, you know, God and religion. Is he wrong? No, he's right for him. I'm right for me. We have that agreement and understanding. And when we have conversations about life, a lot of times it's wrapped around these beliefs, but it works. It works for us. And he's one of my best friends. Like, he's a guy that if I need somebody's opinion that's not going to be judgmental and I need to work through some things mentally, a lot of times he's the young guy that I call or that I'll go see and say, hey, what do you think about this? But I think it's dangerous when culture and religion and race and all that stuff gets clumped up in one category, because the reality of the situation, you could not agree with it, you could agree with it, whatever. When you ask somebody, what are you, where are you from, they're just recalling the last 100 years. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, we all came from the same place. We all represent the exact same race, the human race. And the only major differences in people in the human race is gender. You have female humans and you have male humans. So when somebody is culturally aware or very attached to their nationality, that's exactly what it is. It's an attachment. Is it wrong? No, I don't think it's wrong at all. I just don't practice it. And I think that goes back to my foundation. I never had a strong foundation of family. Me and my wife had to create that foundation. So thinking 30, 40 years from now, what are my kids going to be attached to? Is race going to even play a factor? I don't think so. Because now we have children that are black, white, and Hispanic. I don't think race is going to play a factor. I don't think culture is going to play much of a factor. You know, I live in Connecticut. My kids go to school in the Bronx. They live in Connecticut as well. But we commute. We're a traveling circus. I'm hip-hop culture. And I try to instill some hip-hop in them. For instance, the other day we was in my mother-in-law's crib, and I was just playing them old hip-hop records that I like. Scarface, Never Seen a Man Cry Till I Seen a Man Die. Bone Thugs, Crossroads. Nas, DMX. I played them whatever I could play that doesn't have too many curses. But I don't think that culture or race is going to play much a factor. I just don't. I think when I think about the future for them in a positive way, I feel like that stuff will be ignored. Unless one of them wants to dig into our culture from back. But really, they're American. They were born, they were raised in America. They're living their lives in America. They're becoming, you know, strong American men. And I'm not one of those dudes that's subscribed to, you know, America's the greatest country in the world. America's the only place I've lived. I've traveled other places, but America's the only place I lived. So until I live in every country around the world, for me to say America's the greatest country in the world would be stupid. I think we're good. I think from what we hear in comparison to other countries, we're good. But some dude living in Serbia might say the same thing about their country. Right? Aborigine people living in Australia or Africa might say the same thing. Greatness is directly attached to happiness, I believe. So if you're happy where you're at and you're extremely happy, then it's great to you. It's the greatest to you. I think we just, as a human race, need to just be more happy with the moments as opposed to, you know, the past. Focus on right now, and that'll make sure the future is bright. I don't know how I got here. I started with the Migos and Bone Thugs, and now I'm here. Either way, follow me on Instagram at Noches Nachos. Facebook, Noches Santiago. YouTube.com/TorchUpNYC. And my Gmail, if you want to contact me, if you want to have a conversation with me on the show, or if you want me to talk about something specific, TorchUpNYC@gmail.com. Stay blessed, y'all. Oh, man, New York, New York. It seems like we got a big snowstorm coming over the weekend. They're saying, what I was saying a few days ago, 3 to 6 inches. Now they're saying 1 to 3 inches. You know, my shit is usually fucked up where I'm at anyway. I live on a hill in Danbury, Connecticut. And, you know, it rains 3 inches in New York and it's 3 feet in fucking Connecticut. Let me look at this weather right now. Yep, it's saying Saturday and Sunday, snow. Fuck, the low on Sunday is going to be -1 in Danbury. That means I'm not going outside. I might have to shovel. I don't mind shoveling. It's a good fucking workout. It was just scary. 1 year, when I was rapping, I had performed in Queens, opening for the Lox. And I knew something was funny. Like, I thought I had pulled something from shoveling. We had a major snowstorm. It was in Connecticut. But I really had to go to the show. This was an important show. I got paid for it. It was a snowstorm. Before I even headed out to the show, I had called one of my boys that was performing with me or helping me to perform. Well, one of my boys at the time. I haven't even spoken to dude in years. But told him, yo, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it. Like, I can't even take a deep breath. I pulled something in my shoulder. And he was like, yo, just come through. I'll rock with you. Don't worry about it. So I said, fuck it. I get in the car. And it took me 4 hours to get from Connecticut to Queens. But by the time I got there, I was so, like, amped up with adrenaline that it was no problem. I got on stage. No problem. I rocked out. Killed it. Crowd was packed. And it was good because it was snowstorm, but the crowd was still packed. Ain't nobody was there to see me, though. They were there to see Styles. Regardless, I came off stage. Told my guys, I'm out. I got a long drive home. Drove home. Another 4 hours to get home. I ain't get home till like 4 something in the morning. I got home. I tried to lay down. My fucking shoulder was killing me. It was hurting bad. So I ended up getting up. I realized something was bad. Something was wrong. But in my head, I was like, I don't want to wake up my wife or the kids. I'll just wait till they get up. My wife gets up. I'm like, I'm sitting in my drawers in the upstairs bedroom. And she walks in and she says something to me. And I tried to speak. And my voice didn't come out regular. And I got this sharp pain. Like, it felt like somebody pushed a dagger from my rib cage to my back. Or to my shoulder. And she was like, oh no, I'm calling 911. And I'm trying to talk her out of it. But, you know, she's a wife. She knows what she needs to do. She helps me get dressed. A fucking fire truck showed up. You know, I'm in a small town, so anything is fucking. These people probably get excited. Oh, did somebody in pain? We got action. Anyway, fire department pulls up. They walk in the house. I'm sitting on the couch holding my chest. What's wrong, sir? I was like, yo, I'm in fucking pain. Like, all right, well, we're going to bring the stretcher in and we're going to take you, you know, to the ambulance. The ambulance had just pulled up. I was like, no, I'm walking. And I got up and just walked out the house and they're trying to stop me. And I walked my ass right into the fucking ambulance. Young EMT. Dude had to be like 19, 20 at the most. He's like, what's the problem? I was like, I'm in so much pain. I could barely talk. Gave me a shot of morphine. Oof, if morphine is not the best fucking painkiller. And I'm like, something's wrong. And he's like, ah, it's the time of year. You probably overexerted yourself. You're a performer. You work a regular job as well. You were shoveling. Could have just pulled something. Now, I ripped my pectoral muscle in high school playing football. This wasn't that. But in my head, I was like, hey, maybe he's right. Maybe it's something in my shoulder. But I knew that wasn't the case because it was my chest that was hurting too. They take me to the hospital. My wife gets there 20 minutes later with the kids. My kids are, well, the youngest one, Mace, is pissed off because he don't even want to be awake at this time. My oldest son is smiling, laughing at me because it's the first time he's seen me connected to wires. Said I look like a robot. Everybody was smiling. You know, Jess is concerned. She's concerned. She's on the phone with somebody. And I overhear the doctor say, Santiago, we're gonna bring him in right now. So right then and there, it hit me that, you know, this is bad. Something's wrong. And I look at Jess. I don't say anything to her. I always try to protect her from being scared and things of that nature. I like to think that I'm a buffer for her for all of that. Anyway, I didn't even know what to say. 2 minutes later, doctors came in, started rolling my bed away. Jess starts losing her mind. Oh my God, he's dying, he's dying, he's dying. I didn't know what was happening. They're rolling me away. I'm like, the fuck is happening? The guy's like, we got to take you to surgery. I said, surgery for what? And he says, you got pericarditis. Mind you, in my head, I don't know what the fuck pericarditis is. It sounds like a foot fungus. So I'm like, are they going to chop my foot off? Like, what the fuck is going on? What does that have to do with anything? And, you know, they strapped me to this table. They strapped my arms down. The table was like a fucking surfboard. It was thinner than a surfboard. And I'm like, what is going on? And they're like, Mr. Santiago, you have pericarditis. We have to go in and check your heart. I was like, oh, okay. To the left of me is this big screen. And I see them I forget what it's called. The shit they do to clean the area before they cut it. Putting that shit on my leg. And a knife, a scalpel going towards my leg. And I'm like, hold up. I got to be awake for this shit? Doctor's like, yeah, we like to monitor your heart rate as we go in there, this and that. Right then and there, I guess my heart rate just shot up. I hear the surgeon say, hit him with another shot. And 5-10 seconds later, I was asleep. What felt like 5 minutes, I wake up and my wife is there. And my mother's there. I don't even speak to my mom at this time, but that's beside the point. That's a whole nother show. And apparently they went in my heart. I had pericarditis. They made sure there was no blockages there. And then I was on bed rest with a whole bunch of medication. First time I've ever been through that. Now, I've had health issues my whole life, but nothing to this extent. And I asked them, you know, how did I get it? They said it could have been a viral infection, a fungal infection, or just luck of the draw, bad genetics. But I say that to say this. With the storm coming, be careful. Monitor yourself. Make sure you're at 100%. Because you could drop at any time. I was a 30-year-old 30-year-old hospital attendee, I guess. When I went to the cardiologist after that, it was all Vietnam vets and old people. I was the only young guy in there. If it could happen to me, it could happen to you. Be careful. Anyway, catch y'all next time.